Today's Shi'ez Masechta Baba Basra Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Aleph of Be'ez, five lines from the bottom. It says the word Ifra Hormiz, Ima de Shvar Malka. Ifra Hormiz was the mother of Shvar Malka. Shadra May Abba May Dinri. She sent 400 dinarim Kamed Rav Ami that Rav Ami should distribute it for tzedakah. And he refused to accept them. He refused to distribute them. So says the Gemara, Shadrin Kameh Rava. So she then sent it to Rava. And regarding Rava, the Gemara says, the Kablinu, from him, she was willing to accept it. From her, Rava was willing to accept it. Explains the Gemara, the reason he was willing to accept it was because of Shalom Malchus. He did not want to in any way antagonize her, given that she was the queen, and of course he wanted to have the best type of relationship with her. Shom Rav Ami, and Rav Ami heard that Rava was willing to accept the tzedakah, hikbid, and he was upset. Amalei Lesley, does not Rava agree with what the pasuk says in Yeshaya, B'yavish ki when the branches and the leaves of a tree get dried up, they get broken. And what it means is that if the Klal Yisrael, when they will not have the opportunity to do the mitzvah of tzedakah, what's going to happen if they don't have the opportunity to do tzedakah, we will have the opportunity that that will take away from them any schus that they should be able to prevail. Noshim boys meiris esoy. And at that point, we'll be able to curse them and have them leave the world. So if that's the case, we certainly should not give them the opportunity to give tzedakah. So ask the Gemara of Rava. Rava, who did accept tzedakah from them, why did he do so? Says the Gemara, the reason he did so was Meshum Shalom Malchus. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Vav Amabeis, teaches us that one should not take tzedakah from the Akum, because it involves Chil Hashem, that we need to rely on them for tzedakah. And the question is, how it shows that we don't have the ability to take care of our own. So how was Rav allowed to take tzedakah? So some say that it's only when it's done in a public fashion. When it's betzina, one may take tzedakah from the Akum. So the Taz tries to ask, yes, when it's done with sinner, we can understand why it doesn't necessarily represent Chil Hashem. But as we just learned in the Gemara, by taking tzedakah from them, we give them the opportunity to acquire chusim. And why should that be allowed? So some say there's a difference between giving tzedakah to an individual. An individual Jew taking tzedakah in that fashion gives them schusim versus when they give it to a gabbai tzedakah. When a gabbai tzedakah is giving tzedakah, it's not direct benefit, and that's why it's different. It's in the same vein, I saw that the Drisha explains that there's a difference when the Akum gives tzedakah to a specific cause versus when the Akum is just giving tzedakah in a general way. Their other pshat is that if the Jew is completely relying on the Akum, then that's unacceptable. But if the Akum is contributing, but he's not the sole provider, we could be more lenient. And the Gemara says Rava was concerned because of Shalom Malchus. And Rabbi Chanan, the Kibbutz Shurim, has a discussion. When we're saying now that we're not allowed to take tzedakah from the Akum, the Gemara that we just quoted from Masechta Sanhedrin, Rabbi Chanan tries to analyze, is that a din d'oraisa or that a din d'rabbanan? And he says there would be a very important consequence. He says the consequence would be that if it's a din d'oraisa, from here we're learning that even when there's something which is a d'oraisa, Shalom Malchus could supersede a deraisa. But if it's only a drabonon, then of course we can understand the drabonon said we shouldn't take tzedakah from Nakum, But they said, in a situation where we need to be concerned, as we're learning now, about Shalom Malchus, the Rabbanan said that we are allowed to take from them. So Rava said, because of Shalom Malchus, he took Stoka from the Akum. Asked the Gemara for Rav Ami Nami. So we began the shiur with Rav Ami refusing to take tzedakah. And the question is, why did he refuse? Why didn't he have the reason to take? Because of Shalom Malchus. Answers the Gemara, the Bailei Lefnigu Aniyav de Kechavim. He says, why the reason Rav Ami was upset, because he sort of given the tzedakah to Aniyav de Kechavim. And that's why he was upset. Why did he give it to Aniyav Yisrael, which gives them more schusim? So the question is, if that is a heter, so why didn't Rav Ami do the same? So I saw a number of torts. So one tarot says that where Rav Ami lived, there were no akim that needed tzedakah. So that wasn't something that was an option for him. Another pshat that I saw is that Rav Ami lived in a place where Ifra Hormuz or Shvar Malka did not have the same type of power. And since they didn't have the same type of power, the best thing, as we're learning throughout our Shia now, is to avoid taking stock from them. And they and Rav Ami had that option. Rava didn't have that option, but the question is, he should have taken and not given the stock of Tani Yisrael, he should have given it Tani Goyim. Rava, says the Gemara. So indeed, says the Gemara, that's what Rava did. Rava Nami Lani Akam Yavinu. That's exactly what Rava did. So if that's the case, why was Rav Ami upset? Rav Ami the Akbid, who the Lesaima Kamai. They never told him the entire story. They just told him that he took tzedakah from them. They never reported to him that he didn't take that the tzedakah he took was given to Aniyei Akum. So what we're learning from Halacha is that one should avoid taking tzedakah from an akum. That's the best option. If we're taking tzedakah from an akum, we should preferably give it taniyei akum. Only, as we learned the other day, if the akum specifically says, I want you to give it for mitzvah rabbah. So when it involves a mitzvah rabbah, as we learned in Daf Ches, a mitzvah rabbah, the Gemara taught us, there means pinyin shvuyim. And if the condition is that the tzedakah should be given to a mitzvah rabbah, and we won't fulfill the condition, so now we have a new issue. The issue now we have is geneva stas, if we don't do as we were told to do, and therefore there he had to give it for pidyon shvuyim. It says, Matanya Amar Lava Ben Yom Tzadik Shemimun HaKupa Shet Tzedakah. They said about him that he was in charge of the kupa of tzedakah, and there was a woman that came to him in a hunger year. Amalai, Rebbe Panaseini, Rebbe, please give me some income. Amalai, to which he said, I swear that the community chest tzedakah fund is empty. Amalai, Rebbe Imanatam Panaseini. So she said, if you won't give me support, I and my seven sons will perish. So once he heard this, he gave her panasa. So the Sefer Chavos Chesed asks, why does the Gemara say that he only gave her support? Didn't he give the entire family support? So the Sefer Chavos Chesed from the Chavetz Chaim suggests that what happened over here was that he gave her, he didn't just give her tzedakah. The highest level of tzedakah, he says, that one could give is to give somebody a way to support herself. And what happened here was, he gave her the tzedakah that she should have a business. And she had the business. And once she had the business, the rest of the family was supported because of that business. Another pshat that he suggests is he wanted to do it in the most honorable fashion. So instead of just giving her tzedakah, he gave her a loan. And by giving her a loan, that's how the whole family was able to have parnasa in a derech kavod. Yom chala, after a while, this Binyamin got ill. V'natolamos, and he was about to die. Omer malach ha'shar sofen ha'kadosh baruch hu, the malachim said to ha'kadosh baruch hu, Rabbanu shalom ata amarta, You said the kol kaim nefesh achas Yisrael, that anybody who supports one person, the Klal Yisrael, is ki'ilu kiyam olei molei, as if he's kept the entire world standing. And the question, and this, because, in fact, the Rishonim explained, that's why a person is created alone, to show us the value of every individual. A tzaddik that caused that this entire family, seven children, should survive. Yomus b'shanim amatus alalu should die. Rechman slan young says the Gemara Yad Korug Zadinoi in Shemayim they ripped up the decree and says the Gemara Tana we learned in the Brisa Hasif like Esm Shteim Shana Bal Shnoisov he was given another 22 years. So I saw that the Chidah asks, we learned the other day that the Pasuk says, Stokatatzlam imovis. So why didn't the Gemara just quote that Pasuk with Stokatatzlam imovis? So he answers, as we learned in that shir, that Stokatatzlam imovis is only in a pure sense of Matan B'Seser. That not the person who's receiving, nor the person who's giving, is aware. Here, they were aware of each other. That doesn't have the power of Stokatatzlam imovis. The Mefarshim also tried to understand why did he get exactly 22 more years. So the Sefer Taras Chaim explains, because we know there are 22 letters in the Alabeis, which the Torah is written with the Alabeis, and the Tzchus HaTorah, the Tzchus that you help people survive, and these people who survive will learn Torah and act according to the Torah. That's why he got 20. That's why he get 22 years. The Torah Rabbanan, Ma'is b'Mumbas HaMelech. So the Gemara says there was an episode with Mumbas HaMelech. Shebizbez Oitzroysov Oitzroysov Oitzroysov. He went and took all of the treasures that he and his family had. And there was a Shnei B'Tzuris, there was a hunger year. And he gave it away for tzedakah. So the Mefarshim asked, that the Gemara Masechet Ksubos Daf Nun Aleph teaches us, Hamavazbez, Ayavazbez Yosef Mechaimish. Somebody shouldn't give away more than 20%. So, why did he give away everything? So, some explain that he was a king. Why is there a halacha that you're not supposed to give away more than 20%? Because a person may come to a situation where he's impoverished and he won't have from where to live. But here we're speaking about a king. A king never would come to that point. He could always raise taxes. He asked from where to get money, and therefore he could give more than 20%. Din Yaakov says, similar pshat, that Mumbas HaMelech was extremely wealthy. And even if he would give away more than 20% as he did, he was still left with more than he needed to survive. And therefore he was allowed to give away more than 20%. Davos Chesed says that when is the halacha that you can't give away more than 20% is when you're not giving specifically to an ani, to a poor person who's standing in front of you. But when you're giving to somebody who's standing right here and needs the money, then you can't start thinking, well, I need the money for myself. The chivrav of Echa Beis Aviv Amalai and his family said to him, Avesecha Gunzavai Sifu Ashal Avaisam, our forefathers saved money and had that money increase. V'atam avazmuzon, and you're spending all of it. Amalem, so responded, Avoyse gons lamato, I have my money, they put the money in this world. V'ani genzasti lamala, the money that I'm putting away is in Shemayim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Eretz me'emes me'eretz titzmach, v'tzedek me'shemayim nishkov, the tzedakah we give is in Shemayim. There was a very famous individual. His name was Rav Shimshon Wertheimer. He was a very world-famous person, and he was a big Talmud Chacham. And also, he lived in Vienna, and he was actually a member of the... He was a minister in the government, in the Caesar Leopold's government. And of course, he was a religious Jew, Talmud Chacham. And once you have such a situation, of the other ministers were jealous of him, and they said that he was embezzling money from the government. The king asked him that he wants to have a reckoning of all his money. And he gave him a reckoning, and it was obviously not such a significant number. And as we just said, he was an extremely wealthy person. So the king right away accused him of lying to him, and he put him into prison. After a while, the king, who had a strong affinity to him, came to visit him. And he said, the king says to him that, how did you say something to me which is so patently untrue? So he says, actually, every word I told you is true. He says, I gave you the amount of money that I've given to Tzedakah. And he says, what just happened to me is a proof that that's the only money that we really have. We just saw that you have the ability to throw me into prison and take away all my money. The only thing that can't be left taken away from me is the money that I gave to Tzedakah. And he quoted our Gemara. And our Gemara, we see that the only thing that you could be guaranteed is the money that you've put away. And I saw that the Kedusha Sion explains what does that mean. He says that there was once a very great Rebbe, Ramechel Mizlachev, and somebody came to visit him, and in his home he had a very poor home, nothing, not even two chairs that matched, broken table. And the person who visited him said that, how are you able to live in such a home? So he says, this is not really where I live, so I don't invest here. Where do you live? He says, where I live, I have the most beautiful home. So he asked him, where is that home? So he said, my home is in the Olam HaEmes. And in the Olam HaEmes, there I'm building. With every dollar I give to Tzedakah, when I learn and I do mitzvahs, that's the best investment, because that's the home we're going to eventually all be in, where we will have, based on what we've invested, that's the kind of home we had. The Klaus Magareba, Zatzal, after he came back from World War II, a very broken person, there were people that came, that lived in his community in Europe, and said, Rebbe, as long as you were the Rav in the town of Klausenburg and you had yeshivas and other institutions that we donated to, and now during the war, obviously everything was destroyed, there's no remnant of all of it, and wasn't all of what we put into Tzedakah a waste? So the Rebbe said just the opposite. The only thing that we have left from all of what we lost, our families were wiped out, all our possessions were taken away. The only thing that we could feel that we still have is the tzedakah that we gave, because the tzedakah that we gave remains forever. And Mumbus continued saying, my forefathers invested in a place where people could have control over that money. And I put my money away, but nobody could have any control over that money. Everything is b'chayin kasecha. It's by the kisei hakavod. And even the malachim, explained the mashah, have no power over that spot. It's purely HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place. And they put away money that doesn't necessarily produce more. V'ani kanasti dover shaperis, as we just explained, I made the best investment by giving tzedakah. Shnema imu tzadik toiv kifrim alem yechelu. For the tzedakah that I give, I will benefit in the olam hamas. Avoy se ganza oitzus monim. They put away money. V'ani kanasti oitzus nefoshes. I, by giving tzedakah, saved many families. Shnema pri tzadik eitz chayim. The somebody who has the intelligence to save families, that is truly a smart person. They put away for them, not for themselves, for future generations. I, whatever I put away just for myself. The pasuk says l'chati etzdakim. Avoyse gonzu l'olam haza. What they put away is left for this world. V'ani gonasti l'olam haba. What I put away will be in olam haba. Shenem avaholach l'fanecha tzedkecha. Kvar Hashem yasrecha. We learned in the Mishnah, Mekonabei Stira, if somebody bought an apartment, a house in the city, so even though we had a discussion why, what happens when you, at what point do you become a citizen of the town that you're obligated to participate, says the Gemara, once you buy an apartment, it doesn't make a difference, immediately, harei kin she'ir, you're considered a member of the city. Says the Gemara, Masnisin d'loik of Shim Gamliel. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Shim Gamliel. The Tanya of Shim Gamliel, I mean, Kona by Karka Kalshu, as soon as you buy any real estate, Harei Kanchi, you're considered a member of the city. Ask the Gemara of Tanya, haven't we learned in a different brisa that Shim Gamliel, I mean, Kona Shom Karka Ruila based Dira, Harei Kanchi here? It's not just that you bought property, you have to buy property on which a house can be built. And it says the Gemara, Trei Tanoi V'alib Rav Shimon, there's a machlokes, what was the opinion of Rav Shimon? And the way I saw is that what it means to say is that Rashi says that two Tanoim reported that they heard this from Rav Shimon. And I saw what some of Farshim explained, neither of them heard it directly from Rav Shimon. They heard it from Talmidim of Rav Shimon, who reported it differently. So we began the Masechta speaking about a chotzer. So it says the Mishnah, we're not allowed to divide that chotzer. One partner can't compel the other partner to divide the chotzer. Actually, unless there'll be a situation that after the dividing of the chotzer, they will each be left with four amos. If they're coming to divide a field that in which grain grows, it only can be divided at Shehei Tisha Kabin Lzev, Tisha Kabin Lzev, an area Tupshatim that could grow Tisha Kabin or where you could plant Tisha Kabin. Yudai at Shehei by Tisha Chatzi Kabin Lzev, Tisha Chatzi Kabin Lzev, not nine full Kabin, nine half Kabin. Veloya Sagina, furthermore, we don't divide a vegetable garden. Each one of them should be left with a chatzi kav. Rav Kiva Imer, base roiva. Each one of them should be left with a quarter of a kav. So we're learning now that each one of them is going to be left with a decent area, and the Gemara is going to Mitzvashem expound on this. If each one of them is going to be left with a decent area, then the halach is they could be forced to divide. But the question that comes up is, let's say there is enough to divide, but one of the partners here doesn't want to divide because he doesn't want to have any building taking place. So Rav Shlomo Yoshua was asked that the halacha is that a person has to be ready to spend, as we mentioned, more than 20% to do a mitzvah. So here, each one of them wants to divide because people need bigger apartments, but this person doesn't want to divide. What is the halacha? So Rav Yoshua says that he takes a very interesting approach. Rav Yoshua's approach is that the person who indeed doesn't want to divide, he doesn't want to agree to extend the apartments, he has no reason to do it. But the other neighbors are interested in doing it. So explains Rabbi Yoshev that it's a mitzvah. We have to think about other people. And not only does Rabbi Yoshev say it's a mitzvah and we have to think about other people, but Rabbi Yoshev says it's also good business. So even though I don't necessarily need this extra room at this point, but it's a good investment to make my apartment bigger. And that's something that we should do. So these two reasons are reasons that even though I may not want it, I should do so. V'layas a track of v'lay as a myron, a pavilion, nor a type of a home. V'layas a shavach, a place where a nest for birds. V'layas a talis, nor a garment. V'layas a merchatz, nor a bathhouse. V'layas beis abad, the place where they crush olives. V'loyes beis ha-shalchan. It's a field that needs to be watered by rainwater. There is no other natural source of water. Atshe ben kedei lezeh l'kedei lezeh. We could only divide it when each one of the partners will be left over with a decent pace. Zeh klal, says the Mishnah, kol she'cholik v'shmoyalov. Whenever we divide, and everybody will be left with something that is similar to what we began with, chokin, then they could force them to divide. The kol, v'mlav, and if we don't have the situation that after the division, neither of them is going to be left with a decent area, then the halacha is a chokin, then the halacha is that they can't divide. So I saw that. What's the halacha if you have a shul? And now we have a situation that the shul, there are members, new members in the community, and they have different menhagim, and they want to divide the shul. So the first thing that Chashuki Chemet discusses, that you can't divide the shul if it will diminish the area for davening. And he says, not only may you not divide the shul in a place where it will diminish the davening space, but even if it will diminish the davening space in the Ezra's Noshim, then should not be done. But if that isn't the case, so again, we have to follow what is what was said in our Mishnah, that if we'll divide the shul and each separate space will be a place big enough to have a place to daven, so then the halacha is that they should be divided. But if it's going to be divided in a way that the space won't be a decent area for davening, it can't be divided. But on the other hand, there's another consideration. We know that there's a concept of Beroiv Am Hadlis Merach, and having one big minion is better. So the answer to that question, which of course is a complicated question, has to be viewed in, there's on one hand, as we just said, the concept of Beroiv Am Hadras Melech. On the other hand, there's a concept of Shalom. So if we could have everybody davening together, so then that's the best. We'll have Beroiv Am Hadras Melech. But if by having everybody together, it could cause machloikis, then it's not worth them all davening together if the price that you're going to pay is that there's going to be machloikus. But now the question is, so let's say they've agreed to daven together. But now we have an issue, what nusach should they daven? So that's a stroll. Many people have the minig that it follows the Baal Tefillah. Whatever nusach the Baal Tefillah is davening, that's the nusach that they follow, which is really not what we have seen in shuls. But if the best approach that the Chashuki Chemed suggests is that we should follow that this is a decision that the Rav of the shul should make. And if the Rav decides whatever nusach the Rav feels is appropriate is the nusach that should be followed. Amosai, says the Gemara, when is these halachas that apply, when both don't want to divide. If both are agreeable, so then it doesn't make a difference. Then the halacha is, if they agree, then it doesn't make a difference how much each one will be left. They should divide the space. But when it comes to Kisei Kodesh, and the Gemara will elaborate on this, then you should never divide, lo yachleiku, even if they're both agreeable. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, if both parties are agreeable, why do we need the Mishnah to tell us that we could divide? So they explain, the chiddush of the Mishnah is to teach us this halacha, that even if they're both agreeable, but when it comes to Kisvei Kodesh, we shouldn't divide because of it's a busy mitzvah. So I saw an interesting shaila, that where a father passed away, and he had a garment from a tzaddik. And the garment of that tzaddik, both of his sons are very anxious to inherit. And the only way they both can inherit is if they agree to cut it into two. But by cutting it into two, it is no longer usable. And to them, this is a davar chashuv. And we just learned that a davar chashuv may not be divided. So should may it be divided or may not be divided. So really, the question, there are many factors to take into consideration when one looks at such a question. On one hand, we just learned that something like a sefer should not be divided. And perhaps one can make an argument that so should be the halacha when we speak about garment. Tearing a garment in two is certainly degrading the garment. But on the other hand, an argument can be made that this garment is not meant to be worn. Yes, a garment that's meant to be worn should not be ripped into two. We have a concern about tashkas. We have a concern of bizui. But here, it's not a garment that's going to be worn. And on the contrary, by dividing it, what we will be able to accomplish is that we'll have shalom. That these two brothers, who otherwise maybe would be getting into a dispute, will have their dispute worked on because they'll both get a share. And as we keep on repeating, Godel HaShalom, how important Shalom is, and therefore an argument could seriously be made that they should leave it, they should divide it and have Shalom. Amar Ravasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Arba Am Shamru, when we said that each, that we divide a Chatzar, when each one will be left with Arba Amis, is in a case Chutz Shel Psachim. As the Rishonim point out, in the time of Chazal, it was quite common that they had a chotzer, a courtyard in front of their home. And it was a very important place, a very important part of the way that they lived. And what we learn here in the Gemara is that everybody gets four amis in front of their chotzer. And since everyone gets four amis in front of the chatzar, that's taken into consideration. There's a machlokes rishonim, how to understand those four amis. Are we to understand those four amis as a place of ownership? That part of owning my home is that I own the four amis that are in front of my home? Or the other way to understand it is I don't own those four amis individually. It's not that they are my property. It's a place that I have a right, that I have special right to use that property. But it's not to be understood that that those four amis are to be considered like my private property in the home. And like my home is my private property. That's not the way to view that dalet amis. Tanya Mihochi says the Gemara, Ein chalk mus chatzer, we don't divide the chatzer, achei be shmein amis lezeh, v'shmein amis lezeh. Each one should have eight amis. Ask the Gemara, but how can we say so? Have we not just learned in the Mishnah, v'anantanan arba amis lezeh, v'arba amis lezeh? Each one should be left with arba amis. El shmamino, the way to understand this brisa is the way Rav Asi just taught us, that you get four amis, but you also get four amis for in front of your door, shmamino. Says the Gemara, v'ikad ramalei mirma. And some learn this as a question and an answer. Our Mishnah said, Tanan ein cholkim sechotzer asher, v'arba amis lezeh, v'arba amis lezeh. On that asked the Gemara, Vatanya, Shmoin Amos Lazer, Vishmoin Amos Lazer, to which the Gemara answers, Omer of Asi, Omer of Yoichran, Abam Shomru is besides the Dalar Amos in front of the doors. And as the Rajba points out, the two versions of this discussion, there is no Machloikis Lahalocha. The Machloikis is just how this was taught. Omer of Huna, Chotzim is Chalekis Lefi Pesheo. The way we divide a Chotzer, that means a father left over, this way many Rishonim learn this Gemara, and a father left over chatzar and homes for his children, and he gave one house to one son and another house to another son. And each house, one house they gave to one son has two doors, and one house has one door. So it says, the chatzar is chalekas lefi pescheha. According to the amount of doors you have, that's how many dalet amis you'll have. And moreover, if you have two houses, then two doors, that means you get two-thirds of the chatzar. And he has only one door, he gets one-third. No. Every door, as we're learning, gets its Dalar Amis. And then after every door gets the Dalar Amis, Vashar Cholkin Beshova. And it could be that this machlokes is connected to what is considered yours, in the, what do those Dalar Amis that you have in your home represent. Tanika Vasar Chizda, Psacha Shabachotzer, Yeshlam Arba Amis. Each door gets Dalar Amis. So if one home has one door and the other home has two doors, because each door gets four amis, and the rest of the chutz is divided equally. Ask the Gemara, what does this mean that we said that he gets Arba Amis in the Chatzar? I understand that he gets Deit Amis because that's how wide his door is. But what does the Brisa mean with these last words, V'Arba Amis B'Chatzar? Answers the Gemara, and ask the Gemara, Arba Amis B'Chatzar Ma'ay V'Ritayu? Answers the Gemara, Om Abaya Hachi Kama. This is what's meant. Noitl Shemaim Amis B'Arich HaChatzar. You take 8 Amis according to the length because that covers the entire width of your door, and that goes for a depth of 4 amis into the chatzar, because you need to have at least 4 amis in depth to have a place in front of your door to load and unload what you need to. Amar Abaya, high period of sufli. If they dig a pit in which they throw the date pits, which were animal food, so wherever you are, you have to have the ability to throw in the date pits. And says Amemi Yeshle Abba Amis L'chol Ruach for Ruach. So the person has a area of Dalar Amis. The person who's making this pit and was obviously given permission to make this pit is entitled to have a circumference of Arba Amis around his entire pit, because that's how you're going to get the pits into the pit. Says the Gemara, V'loy Amaron, Eldam lo yachle pischa. If there isn't a special entrance through which to throw those pits, but if there's a special place to throw the pits, Avam yachle pischa, then ain't la ba'amis shlofnei pischa, then you have the ba'amis in that space, nowhere else. Amar Afuna, Achsadra. An Achsadra is like a room that it's like a gazebo. It's a set place, but it doesn't have walls. Ain't like Arba Amis. So the halacha that in front of your home you get Dalar Amis doesn't apply to an achsadra. And explains the Gemara why. Tamamai, why did Chazal give us these Dalar Amis? Bishum Pirik Masoi. When you bring an animal loaded with your merchandise, you can't bring your animal into your home. So you have to have a space in front of your home where to load and unload the animal. Hacha, but in this type of space, efshel d'mayel gavoy, you could bring your animal indoors, a mefarik, and load and unload, and therefore, there's no reason for you to be given an extra Dalar Amis. Masa Rav Sheshes, to which Rav Sheshes asks, the Braisa teaches us, echad shari batim, vechad shari egsadris, yesh lam arba amis, they always get arba amis. Answers the Gemara, Ki Tanya Hi, what type of Achsadra was spoken there? It's talked about Achsadra de Beirav that has walls. And since they have walls, presumably they don't have a ceiling, but they have walls, so it's an area where you can't bring your animal in. So ask the Gemara, obviously, Achsadra de Beirav, Pshita, Edrunim Aliyahu, it's a full-fledged room. If it's a full-fledged room, obviously you need to have Dalar Amis in front of it. Says the Gemara, we're speaking about Achsadra Ramaisa. They have walls, but the walls don't reach the ceiling. And since they don't reach the ceiling, maybe we should not consider them as if they have walls. The teaches us the Braisa that they are considered walls, even though they don't reach the ceiling. Tana Bonan, Beishar Achsadra Mapeses. Mapeses is a porch. There's a porch in front of the upper home. The people on the upper story that walk from their homes into the Merpesas and down the ladder to get down, yesh lam arba amos. Haya chamisha batim psuchim apesas. So there are five apartments opened to a mepesas. And then that mepesas opens to the ladder from which you come up and down to upstairs. So you have, they're entitled to dalar amos, but they're only entitled arba amos b'vad, to one arba amos. So even though there are five apartments who are using this ladder, they're only going to get $1 amos. Ba'minei Rabbi Yochum Rabbi Yanai, lul shel tanagoylem, a chicken coop, yesh lo arba amos or ein lo arba amos. Amalei, to which Rabbi Yanai responded, tamamai, why have we been giving entrances dalar amos? Mishum pirik masor, that we should have place to unload and load your merchandise from the animal. Hocha, but when you have a chicken coop, metapas file was top of the earth. Rashi explains the chickens go up and down. Another shot that some Rishonim explained is that the person who wants to feed the chickens in the chicken coop doesn't have to go through an entrance. He could just go up and down the sides of the chicken coop, and therefore he's not entitled to the special dollar. He's not entitled to the special dollar amos. Boimene Rava Ram Nachman. Bayis shechetzi mekura v'chetzi mekura. You have a home or that's partially has a ceiling and partially does not. So now the question is, yesh lei arba amos, does the entrance to this home get dalar amos or ein lei arba amos, or does he not? And the simple way of explaining this Gemara is that if you have a home that doesn't have a ceiling, if it doesn't have a ceiling, so then it's not really a place where you're going to bring things in there. And if you don't need to have the dalar amos for unloading or loading. Another pshat that I saw is if it's an area that doesn't have a ceiling, you could bring the animal into that area. Amaloi, so he said, Eloi Abba Amos. He's not entitled to dalar amos. And he continued explaining. V'loi mibay kuriya milgav. Certainly if the ceiling is in the inner part of this room, defshad ayla gavoyim afarik. So the outer part of the room, you could bring an animal in there. It's uncovered. Elafir kuriyev klapichutz. Even if the covered part is right by the entrance, efshal the ayal gavoy mafarik, you could bring your animal inside the uncovered part, and therefore you're not entitled to the dalar amos. Barminei Rav Huna Mereb Ami, echa b'nei mavoy. So as the Gemara in many places in Shas, particularly Masechta Ervin, explains, the homes open up to Chatzeris, and then the Chatzeris opened up to a Mavui. Each Chatzer opened up to a Mavui, which was an alleyway from which you entered into the Rishus Rabbim. And what happened here was, asked the Gemara, Ech b'nei Mavui, Shabika Shlach Sepech Salam Mavui Acher. He has two alleyways that are parallel to each other. He has his opening towards one Mavui, and he wants to open to the other Mavi. B'nei Mavi Makrinalov. The place that he wants to open up his home to, can the people of that alleyway say, we don't want you to do so? Or a Makrinalov? Or could they not stop him? Amalei B'nei Mavi Makrinalov. Because what's going to happen is, now there are going to be more people walking through that Mavi. Because the people from that Chatzar are now going to start using that Mavi. Achsanya. Now the Gemara asks another question. The government, as the army would come to a city, it was the obligation of the people of the city to host the members of the army. And it was divided amongst the people of the city. And the question is, how is that divided? Lefnei b'nei adam eschalekes, do we divide it that according to how many people? And every person has to share in contributing to hosting the army. It's not divided according to the amount of people. It's divided according to the amount of apartments. And every apartment has the obligation to host. So it depends on apartments. Amalei, the division is not done according to the amount of people, but rather it is done according to the amount of people, and it's not done according to the It's not according to the math of homes. Tanya Nami Hachi, Zevel Shebechatzer. They used to pile up the manure because it was ultimately turned into fertilizer. Meschalekis, Lefi Psachim. They divide the manure according to the different Psachim in the city. V'Echsanya, but as we just said, when we have an army, it's divided from Nei B'nei Adam. Amravuna Echa B'nei Mavi. If a person from the Mavi wants to put mechitzas around the Dalet Amis that he has in front of the Mavi, b'nei Mavi makvilov, his other members of the Mavi could stop him. And the reason, explains the Gemara, that they have a right to stop him, because if there's a closed off area, in front of his home, by having a closed off area in front of his home, so what's going to happen now is that the people there will have to walk around that closed off area. And therefore, since they're going to have to walk around that closed off area, he could stop them from going there. So I saw that the Rivash says, based on this psak, that if the shul has a number of seats, and now they want to add seats because they want to have more income, they'll be able to sell those seats. And somebody says that, well, if there's going to be more seats, that I'm not going to be so comfortable in my seat. So based on this Gemara, that the halacha is that he could prevent them, because if it makes them more uncomfortable, then I could claim that it's not fair to me. However, the Charles Chuvus Tzemach Tzedek says that the Rivash, this is a Siman Tzadik Dalid, says that the Rivash is only speaking about a situation where these people have other place to daven. But if they don't have another place to daven, so just like the Halachi says is that I could demand that people should have everybody has to contribute, that everybody should have where to daven. This is no different than helping people that they should have where to daven. And therefore, I have the obligation to let them put in more seats. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. The Brisa teaches us, Chamesh chatzeres psuchos l'mavi, the five chatzeres open to l'mavi, kulam shtamshus mechotz. And the way it works is, you walk through the outer mavi, and then you walk down. So it says the outer mavi area belongs to everybody. The rest of the chitzayrus, that besides that they have a right to use the chotzer in front of their home, which they have to walk through. So what we're learning here is, that the place where I am walk, if it's only there for me, I could say other people have no right to be there. Nobody else has a right to be there. And the further chatzeris have a right for the people, the more inner chatzeris, to walk by them. But we see here that if it's not bothering anybody, then the halacha is that you could stop him. Answers the Gemara, you can't stop him. Tanaihi. Answers the Gemara, it's machloikz tanoim. Tanya ech v'nei mavi, shebikish lachs a pischel mavi achar. If I want to open up my door to a different mavi, b'nei makam makvalov, the people from that mavi could stop me. Hayasarsim, if it was closed, the bikish the paschoi, if it was closed and now I want to open it up, the loch is ein b'nei mavi makvalov. The people from the other mavi cannot stop me. Divrei Rebbe. Shimon Elazar Omer, Chamesh Chatzeres Psuchos L'Mavi, the case though we're discussing now, where we have five Chatzeres that are open to a Mavi, the halacha is that Kulan Mishtamshes M'Mavi Zum Zu. Says the Gemara, Chatzeres Man D'Chah Shemayu. What is this all about? Says the Gemara, Chatzeres Man D'Chah Shemayu. Kein Chamesh Chatzeres Psuchos L'Mavi, Kulan Mishtamshes Chatzayna, the Mavi, which is the Chatzah, which is closest to the entrance to the Rishus Rabbim, the halacha is that all of us could walk in that area. Devei Rebbe, Reb Shimon Elazama, Chamesh Chatzer Psuchs Mavoi, Kula Mishnamshes Mavoi, that they all could use the entire Mavoi. So we see that this question is the place that's in front of my house, only mine or everyone's, is a Machloikus Tanoim.